Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 11 of the MB Personal Training's Chewing the Facts podcast with myself, Mike Balsamo, and Richard Davis. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
It's a fantastic.
Beautiful Monday morning.
It is a beautiful Monday morning here in Southwest Wales. Hopefully, it's lovely wherever you are in the world. But yeah, summer is on its way and we're only on the 25th of February 2019.
Look out,
Christmas is coming. Summer first. So today's episode is titled 5 Tips on How to Lose Your First 5 Pounds of Fat. Now then, everyone likes some tips, don't we?
We do.
And we all like to lose some body fat as well. So these are really basic kind of tips because we like to keep it simple because I'm a big believer, I'm sure Rich as well, that people overcomplicate fat loss and weight loss and diets and exercise and stuff like that. So we're trying to keep it really simple, I think.
Yeah.
I think. So, you know, because people ask us for tips all the time. And we give them basic advice and then they don't do it. So, you know, that's up to them. But the really simple stuff works, I think. Do you think, Richard, it really keeps...
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, the method is very simple.
I think so.
Absolutely. So, but you're right. People are complicating it. Looking for things that quick fixes, then this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot simpler than you think. So
yeah.
We'll share with you a few tips today.
Absolutely. So tip number one then. Let's get right to it, you know, because I know I'm bound to rant on about something when Rich kicks me off and I'll be on one then for about an hour. So tip number one, clear out your cupboards of rubbish. Now not physical rubbish, but all the crap food, all the biscuits, chocolates, alcohol, sugary processed stuff. Clear out that to start. Say you're starting your new... This is what people do New Year, isn't it? Oh, I got to eat my way through my chocolates first. And it's now June, and they're still eating their Christmas chocolates. Just get rid of the crap. Get rid of... Chuck all the rubbish out. So you start afresh. Do a full, healthy food shop. You know, more vegetables, more fruit, more lean meats and lean proteins if you're vegetarian or whatever it is, and then you can start fresh from then. Because if you've still got chocolates from Easter last year or chocolates from Christmas, whether you're kids or not is beside the point, you know, they're there and you will be tempted by them. I know I am. If there's chocolates in the cupboard, it's easily accessible. Think
100%. If you will know if there's something in the cupboard, if there's something in the fridge, boredom will usually strike.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're rustling around looking for the biscuits, and if then like I said, if they're not there, there's no problem.
Yeah, you have to physically go to the shop and get some chocolate, and if you really want some, and that's involves moving and an effort and. Think, oh, do you know what? And then the mood will pass then. Think, oh, I don't know, I'll have a banana or something, or a glass of water or something. Do I really want the chocolate? If you really want a chocolate, you'll make the effort to go to the shop and get it. Or biscuits or whatever your sort of vice is. But if it's not in the house, you're less likely to have it. As you said, there's boredom set in, sort of witching out between 3 and 5, the kids come home from school, or, you know, the afternoon slump in the office or whatever it is. You will think, right. And same goes for the office as well. I know we train a lot of office workers. We say, oh my God, but they bring cakes and biscuits. You haven't got a gun to your head to say, right, you know what, I have to have a biscuit or chocolate or cake.
Yeah.
You'll say, no, thank you, I'm okay. You know, oh, but they're there though. Well, move them away from your desk. You know, there's no real excuse. You know, if people know you're trying to be healthier and, you know, lose weight or whatever, they should respect you, and that comes with the environment, which is another sort of topic we can talk about, in environment and how that affects you on your fat loss journey. But yeah, clear out the crap and the rubbish from your cupboards. You know, it's good to have a good clear out anyway, I think, from stuff like that. But, you know, I just don't buy it. But I got kids, Mike. I got kids. They eat chocolate. Okay, fine. That's fine. But you don't have to eat this. It's your kids' food. It's your kids' chocolate. Yeah. You know, rationing out. You know, kids shouldn't be eating too much sugar anyway. We shouldn't be eating too much sugar as a whole anyway. As a thing. Somebody sent me a message the other day of how much sugar is in a Cadbury's cream egg. Dear God, I'm surprised. I love Cadbury's cream eggs. Don't get me wrong. You know, I probably have one. But the amount of sugar in it. I'll post something on Facebook later of the picture. You may have seen it already. It's a Cadbury's cream egg and it's a mound of sugar. I think it's sugar anyway, maybe something else, but it looks like sugar. And it's shocking how much, and the cream eggs have gone smaller. And it shows though how much sugar can be compacted in such a small item of food. But we still eat it. And eat not just one, but three or four.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to eat chocolate like hell. I'm surprised I got any teeth left. Really am. I'm really surprised. But, you know, again, it comes down to willpower and just being, you know, in the right frame of mind and the right sort of mindset to succeed and stuff like that. Don't say, you know, never have chocolate again or biscuits again, but...
No. But this is the place to start.
Yeah.
You know, abs are made in the kitchen and all that. Absolutely. We're not talking about abs. We're talking about just general fat loss, but you need to start with nutrition. And if your downfall is crap, get rid of it.
Absolutely.
Ship it out, give it to someone, whoever, whatever, put it in the bin, whatever, food banks, anything.
Yes.
But
yes.
If it's not there, it's not an issue.
Yeah. Absolutely. I believe. I believe so too as well.
And if, sorry.
Go on.
And then, you know, but I went to the shop then because it wasn't there. Well, guess what? Proves you don't actually want to lose fat, weight.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No.
If you're making that effort or you've already cleared it out and then, you know, 2 days later you've gone to the shop to replace it, well, you know, do you really want it?
This is it. And, you know, we talk about moderation all the time. We, you know, things like, you know, when you're in a mod, you know, if you're eating... 70 to 80% whole foods and you being generally, in inverted commas, good most of the time. A little bit of what you fancy does you good.
Oh, totally.
You know, that's fine. Good God, you know, I think on the weekend I had a little chocolate brownie, which was lovely. That was it, you know, and I love chocolate, I love all that. But I think, right, okay, I got a holiday coming up now, I'm on my own 12-week sort of shape-up programme. I think, right, I can eat it, yes, but... That's fine. But if it's not in the house, generally, I won't have it.
No.
You know, and it comes down to then how much you want it. And somebody said to me before, oh, but life's too short for, you know, worrying about what to eat and what not to eat. Yeah, but, you know, but when you're looking at type 2 diabetes in the face, love, I think you will start to take a bit of attention of what you put in your mouth. You know, when it comes down to you can't out-train a bad diet and all that stuff, yeah. But still, it comes down to that. If you're borderline type 2 diabetic and you're shoving bloody chocolate in your face, what are you doing? Anyway, let's rant. So clear out your cupboards of rubbish, of your sort of, not bad food, because no food is really bad, but your processed or your less whole food then of your... You know, your chocolate or your cheese, or if you're a big savoury fan, if you can't live without cheese, and you every time you walk past the fridge, you grab a bit of cheese, get rid of it. It's like an alcoholic, isn't it? Removing alcohol from an alcoholic's place, and or if you smoke a lot, you're trying to give up smoking, you know, move or don't buy cigarettes or just don't have cigarettes in the house. Same principle. So that's tip number one. So tip number two, Richard.
Yeah, so we're looking at a bit of accountability here. Keeping a food diary. So, I mean, people come in and speak to us about weight loss and fat loss, and straight away, one of the things we say is, you know, we ask them about their diet, and we ask them to log their nutrition. Why do we do this? It's so you are aware of what you're consuming. Because, you know... Are you aware? If you aren't logging, how do you know? Oh, but you know, it's only this, that, and the other. But when people start to log, they're so surprised about the calories that are in foods.
Yeah.
And essentially, it is down to calories why you are overweight, why you have too much body fat. So we say keep a food diary, you know, a few weeks, so you become aware of what you are consuming.
Yeah.
And it helps. It's you're accountable. It goes back to the previous stage. If you say, for example, a login, you've got a few hundred calories left. Right. Do I want this bar of chocolate now?
Mm.
Or, you know, is that going to tip me over? And it's just about awareness.
Mm.
It's massively important. I mean, I've logged for about 3 years, you know, not all the time, not every single day, because I know now, because I've become aware, and it's a habit.
Mm.
But if you're not aware of what you're eating, you know, essentially, you know, you're fumbling around in the dark, so to speak.
Yeah. We all like a fumbling in the dark now and again, don't get me wrong, but you know.
Well, you know, yeah.
But yes, you're right. You don't know where you... It's like on a map, isn't it? You're just driving aimlessly and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
And this is why now companies... I was in Costa on Friday, or other coffee chains are available, by the way. I was in a coffee shop on Friday having a coffee, and they put... their calories on their coffee and their cake and their sandwiches and stuff. And I know other pubs and restaurants do that now.
Mm.
Not to make you feel guilty, but to make you aware. If you have that pie and chips or that millionaire shortbread or that hot chocolate with cream and marshmallows, that's going to be 900 calories or whatever. It's to make you aware of what you're putting into your body. And if you are keeping a food diary, you know, even if it's just writing stuff down, not necessarily on apps and things like MyFitnessPal or just writing it down, it makes you aware, oh shit, you know, it's like, that's 900 calories. That's nearly my total day intake of calories. Can I, in inverted commas, afford those calories if I'm trying to lose weight? Or is it a treat kind of thing? Oh, it's you know, I've been really good all week now. Yeah, okay, I can afford it. As in, not money-wise, but afford to use those calories. So, as you said, Rich, it makes you aware of what you're actually eating. But you have to be honest with your food diary. Like, say, clients now. I had a client a couple of years ago, right? This is a classic one. And she used to keep a food diary, in fairness. And she's brilliant. And it's been a Galaxy chocolate bar every day. And she's honest. I said, have you had a chocolate? She's like, yeah. I was like, right. Yeah. I had a chocolate. I was like, all right, okay. I want a chocolate. I need a chocolate day. Okay, fine. And she's still losing weight, in fairness to her. But I was like, okay, it's a bit of a bad habit. Okay, but there we are. We tried to get out of there. But she's honest. She wrote it all down every time. Yeah. A Galaxy or whatever it was. Galaxy bar, you know, 220 calories, fine. You know, that's fine. She didn't smoke, didn't drink, fine. So that was her sort of go-to thing. But she was, at least she was honest. She goes, no, Mike, I haven't had a Galaxy bar, honestly. But the weight wouldn't have shown if she was over-consuming and stuff, you know? So I think while the food diary is great, but you have to be honest. And again, we talked about this in the past and probably continue to talk about being honest with yourselves and people lying to yourself and lying to other people as well. So I think it's very important, that is. But also on that note as well, Rich, with a food and mood diary. So say you wanted, you know, a bar of chocolate now. Say you wanted a bar of chocolate. If you write next to it what your mood is at the time, you can perhaps sort of eliminate, it's CBT and psychology and NLP and motivation stuff. If you have to go through a stressful time and you go to food for comfort, writing down your current mood, they do this in training as well, where I really wanted that chocolate because I was feeling a bit down or feeling a bit emotional all the time of the month or whatever it is. You can sort of relate then, right, when that comes now, when I'm feeling a bit shitty like this or whatever the mood is, I normally go to a chocolate bar. Then you say to yourself, no, I won't have that. I'll try something else. And then it works with training as well, especially with weight training. When you write down, oh, I only lifted 10 kilos today, but because I was tired and I didn't sleep last night or I didn't eat or whatever it was, you can say, okay. It's a look back and evaluate what your mood, your current mood is and why you ate that particular bit of food at that time, if that makes any sense. It sort of makes sense in my mad brain, but it's called a food mood diary. People who have emotional eating habits and they go to food or drink or whatever it is for that thing. But it'll help you with a calorie deficit as well. Even if you don't know how many calories in it, if you physically write it down in a diary or book, and you don't know, you can sort of work it out, and it comes to the portions as well. So it keeps you in a calorie deficit as well. I'm sorry, I've gone on one now, but food diary is very important. It makes you aware.
100%. You know, we wouldn't tell people to keep a food diary if it was pointless.
No, exactly. But again, you know, you don't have to keep it forever. No. If you eat the same sort of stuff all the time, or even take photos of your food. You know, people make thousands of pounds a month Instagramming bloody pictures of their grub, you know, but and make it look pretty. But even if you want to make yourself accountable, we'll talk about it in a minute. But, you know, even if you don't want to take a picture of, write down food, a food diary, take a photo kind of person. Take a photo of your meal. And you say, right, that's my meal. These are my meals today. So you have physical evidence of what you're eating, what you're eating, and what you've eaten that day. And you look back at the end of the day, then right, am I going to lose weight by eating this amount of food? And you'll be yes or no. You know, as long as you're honest with what you think of that, if you think of that portion's okay, and you're not losing weight, well, it's not. Then you can sort of evaluate then after 2 weeks. Say, right, I need to make changes now. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, again, your portions, you get used to your portions and you're used to it. And then you think, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So if you don't change anything, you always get the same result kind of thing. So if you're always eating masses of, you know, bloody pasta or rice or chicken or pizza and you're not losing weight, well, you need to. Something needs to change, and this is where a food diary or a food app or like a picture of a food comes in. It'll help you get into a calorie deficit. That was point number two, keep a mood and food diary. Number three is move or exercise, expend energy. You know, as we talked about in previous podcasts, and fat loss workshops and stuff like that and posts that exercise is important because you need to burn off calories, but you cannot out-train a bad diet, but it does help, do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, so moving more is, it. People say, oh, it's not as simple as eat less, move more. Yes, it is. It's a little bit more complicated, but it is essentially down to eating less and moving more. So, you know, and you see everyone these days has got, a Fitbit or something similar,
yeah.
You know, strapped to them, ankles or wrists or whatever, you know, and, you know, 10,000 steps seems to be the most popular goal.
Mm.
And that's great. People are moving more. They're being more aware of their movement. They're trying to hit those steps. you know, when it comes down to something called, we spoke about it, is NEAT, N-E-A-T, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It's basically all your activity that isn't essentially, you know, gym exercise, for example. Mm. So it's walking to the bus.
Yeah, walking, yeah.
You know,
take the stairs.
Take the stairs instead of the lift, instead of the elevator. Walk into the shops. You know, could you drive? Yes. Is it better to walk? Yes. So you just got to up. doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah.
You take it. You take it bit by bit. You know, you're just moving more. You're getting up off the sofa, and that then is burning calories. You may not think it is, but it is. All those little steps, moving more, is burning more and more calories. You're going to get fitter. You're going to be losing body fat.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Exactly. And it all contributes to your overall calorie burn for the day and, you know, and your energy balance, isn't it? And also, you know, you're burning fat, you're burning calories, but you're also getting healthier as well. You know, we keep harping on about this, but it won't go away. We're in the middle of an obesity epidemic in this country. And people are dying because they have type of diabetes, risk of stroke and heart disease and all the rest of it, because we are overweight and we're not moving. The heart is a muscle and we need to keep that muscle going, otherwise one day it'll stop and that's the end of it. So moving, you know, especially this time, well, coming into this time of year now, you know, it's beautiful out there today. You know, go out for a walk, you know, do a bit of gardening, move more, take the dog for a walk, take the cat for the walk, if you've got a cat or whatever. My uncle used to do that. He used to have a cat. He used to take her a walk.
Why not?
Why not? Exactly. Why? You know, why lend it to dogs? Yeah. You know, whatever. So, but yeah, you know, we've got to move, exercise. Don't have to go to a gym. Don't have to go to a boot camp. Don't have to go to a personal trainer. Just move more. Just go for a walk. Go for a hire a bike. Buy a bike. Go for a ride. You know, just get out there and move. Move your muscles. Move yourself. So I think moving and exercise, as you said, the NEAT and you know, just a TDE or just totally total daily exercise expenditure, overall calories, it works out for the balance as well. So moving is just important, but obviously combined with the nutrition, because you cannot out train a bad diet. I've tried it. It does not work. It does not work.
No, it doesn't.
So that was number three. Number four, Richard.
Ah.
Here we go.
Our favourite word.
Our favourite word, B, no.
Accountable. Massively important.
Massively.
If you aren't accountable, then I'd say chances are very high that you're not going to achieve what you want to achieve. It's very easy to make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, You have to be accountable for yourself. I think the moment you start to take responsibility and realize that the position you're in is down to you, and where you want to get to is down to you, that's when you'll start to see results. Until then, if you're always blaming someone else, blaming your environment, blaming, you know, your teenage years or you know, your work colleagues, or it's always someone else's fault, it's always someone else's fault. That's an easy way out.
Yeah.
You know, accountability is just huge, I think, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Rich and I were in the gym this morning, and he said to me last night, he said, right, I'm going to the gym tomorrow, up at 5 in the morning. I'm like, right, I'll be there. Now, if I didn't turn up, he'd text me, where the hell are you? Because he's holding me to account to be in the gym for 5 or whatever it is. And we're holding ourselves accountable to do these podcasts once a week. We've said now, we put it out there, and we hold ourselves accountable. And I know a few people, if we didn't do a podcast in a week, they'd be like, what's your podcast then? Because we said we're going to do it, we'll do it. And we have to do it. And this is why, you're right, accountability works. It's horrible, because people call you out and say, you haven't trained this week, Mike. Or Rich, or you, pizza, oh my God, again, or whatever, or, you know, how's the fat loss thing going, how's the training going, you know, it's not to catch you out, but it's to hold you to account and help you, because, as you said, Rich, if nobody's there helping you to be accountable or holding you to account, you will fall into old habits and won't get results, you will not get results, and so if you said to yourself, oh, I need to lose 0.5 stone now by June, okay, and you didn't tell anyone, and you didn't do it, who cares? Who cares? Only you, but think, oh, don't worry, I'll buy a bigger size or whatever. But if you told a trainer or put on Facebook or put on whatever, or told your mate or told the girls at school or whatever it is, I'm going to lose 7 pounds by June. You've held yourself to account by telling somebody, and you've told them, look, make sure you keep me accountable. It does work. It does work. It's scary as hell, and this is why I was talking to some people earlier about comfort zones, and we have to remove ourselves and be uncomfortable to succeed in stuff. Otherwise, you will always revert back to the old habits, and you'll never lose weight. You'll never lose weight. You'll just accept, oh well, I'm always going to be this size or this weight or this unhealthy. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So be accountable to yourself and someone else. You do it. Accountability works to succeed. So that's number four. Number five. This is a big one. Be patient. We live in a world of speed, technology, and not being patient. We want things now. Why is my delivery not here from Amazon or whatever? Why is my coffee late? Why is the bus late? Why is this? You know, why aren't we being patient with fat loss when we're like, why? You put on 5 stone, okay? You put on 5 stone in 5 years, okay? You cannot expect to lose 5 stone in 5 weeks. You can't. It's not realistic. So you've got to be patient. Things take time. Your body does not work the same way as some fiber broadband. It's not quick like that. It doesn't work. You've got to be patient. You can't expect things to happen overnight. You can't. What do you reckon, Rich?
I think that's spot on. I think I put something up with what we did a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get to where you are overnight.
No.
Being overweight, having too much body fat, being unfit, being unhealthy, being unhappy. And you're not going to get to where you want to be overnight.
No.
You know? You're not going to all of a sudden wake up and lost all the body fat and all of a sudden you can run a marathon. You look in the mirror and you're confident. It doesn't happen like that. So patience is key. We have people come to us a lot and say, you know, I want to be this, that and the other in a month's time. And we have to break the news that it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
And they look very disheartened.
Yeah, but then they go and find some herbal, some fad diet then to promise them to lose the weight in 2 weeks.
Yeah, which you know, and we have to tell them that's a load of nonsense as well. It will happen. It just takes time. You know, you've got to want it. You've got to be patient. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to put in the hard work. On the nutrition side of things, and in the gym, or you know. Just moving more. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the gym, but it's a combination of things, and over time you will see results happen, but it does not happen overnight.
No, exactly. So if you've got a goal, as in, unless it comes back to you know, being specific with your goals, which you talked about in the past and I talked about in the past, it's like, right, we've got a goal. Right, holiday, 12 weeks time. Right. 3 months, right. Okay, I need to lose X amount of weight in 3 months. Is that realistic? Possibly. Will it happen? Potentially. But fat loss is not linear. It doesn't happen, you know, you especially with women and different cycles and stuff like that, you may put on weight and lose weight. And so it doesn't happen. You can't lose 2 pounds a week every week for 12 weeks. It doesn't happen. You may put on muscle. You may, you know, hold more water. You may have a birthday in between and go off plan, and what you're allowed to do, have more chocolate or whatever, maybe Christmas or whatever it is. But patience and commitment and dedication equals success, I think. So plus hard work. Don't get the hard work. You've got to put it in. But people are so impatient these days. I'm really impatient. Oh my God, I'm with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I want anything now. But then you've got to say, I'm fine now. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day kind of thing. You know, you gotta take a step back and say, right, okay, is this possible? Yes. Is the goal realistic? I'm gonna lose half a stone in a week. Possibly, it does happen, but on several factors. But generally, it's like the Take That song, isn't it? Patience.
Good song.
Very good song. I sang that audition once.
I was going to say, I would say, with my voice is terrible.
I'm not saying that, no, but I sang that a few years back, yeah. But the knees went open.
Yeah.
Like that's another story.
I like
Denise. I do like Denise Van Outen.
What did she do to you? You used to like her.
She didn't put me through.
Oh, right.
She didn't give me the job. That's another story. Good song, though. Patience is a virtue.
It is. And we have to drill this through to people that, you know, if you give 100% on all sides of things, 12 weeks time, for example, you may not be exactly where you want to be.
No.
But you're going to be a good few steps down that
absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely. And that's just by starting your fat loss journey or whatever journey you're on, isn't it? You know, it's like you won't lose body fat by thinking about it. And then by shoving your face full of chips and curry and or over-consuming food and drink and not moving. You know, you will not, you know, if thinking burn calories, good God, I'd be nothing left of me.
Mm.
You know, it's like somebody said to me the other day, oh, I want to learn to drive. All right. Are you going to learn driving? Oh, no, I haven't started yet. It's like, you know, and then they didn't take action to learn to drive. So they'll never learn to drive unless they take lessons or get a license. You know, so you need to take action to do it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I'm just going off on
time. Thinking, like you say, thinking will not get the job done.
No, exactly.
You know, and wanting it won't.
No, wanting something without taking action is pointless. It's absolutely pointless. So there you have it, guys. So point one, clear out your cupboards of rubbish. Keep a food mood diary, which will help you be in a calorie deficit, move as an exercise, or just walk the dog, especially in this beautiful weather we're having at the moment. Number four, be accountable to yourself and someone else. They'll hold you to account and make you take action and keep you to your goals. And number five, be patient. Those are our five tips on how to lose your first 5 pounds of fat. I reckon if you follow those tips, those five things, you will lose fat. You lose 5 pounds within about 2 weeks, easy.
Yeah.
I reckon so. Really, genuinely, I think you will. Because we do it. We do it. You know, and this is our job, and this is our tips that we tell clients day in, day out. And they follow them, if they follow them, and they get results. They don't follow them, they don't get results. It's as simple as that, isn't it? So it's... I feel a rant coming on, but we're going over time now, so I'm not gonna rant now. But yeah, so anything to add, Rich?
No, I think you summarized that perfectly well.
Thank you very much.
Follow the tips to fat loss success.
So if you do follow the tips and lose 5 pounds or more, let us know. Please let us know. And they're very simple tips. They're more common sense than scientific,
yes,
really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that again, we said at the top of the episode that, you know, people overcomplicate diets and overcomplicate fitness and health and stuff like that. It's not as complicated as you think. So try not to overcomplicate it. But we've got some really cool stuff coming up in future episodes. So please keep a listen out. We're going to post this every Monday. I've made myself accountable now, Rich.
Yeah.
It's going to be out every Monday. The podcast is out every Monday, so keep a listen out. We're on Spotify, we're on Anchor.fm, we're on is it iTunes podcasts on your iPhone? We're going to be hopefully on iTunes very soon as well, if they ever get back to us. But yeah, so if you do enjoy, please love, show us love, share our podcast, leave us a 5-star rating. If you have anything you want us to cover or want us to sort of chew the facts over, please let us know. Drop us a message or email or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, things like that. That's about it. So Rich has got some really cool stuff coming up with his 10 and 10. Toned in 10 program starting really soon. I just kicked off my 5-day fat loss, online fat loss challenge yesterday. So that's all going really well. There'll be another one coming up very soon as well. When's your Toned in 10 kicking off, Rich?
Toned in 10 is launching, I believe, in approximately 3 weeks' time.
3 weeks.
And keep a lookout for an early special offer.
Fantastic.
Next week or so.
Love it. So get on that. My 5-day challenge has started already, but I'll be doing another one in a few weeks' time. Really, it's going to go. This one's different to other sort of 5-day challenges I've done in the past. I'm really coaching people on the 5 days for free to really get into the reasons why they are not losing fat and how to get over their barriers and their fears of losing weight and what's stopping them. So that's interesting. But again, we can do a podcast on that next week. We got next week's podcast sorted. Or it'll be a randy podcast next week. But we'll leave you with that. So yes, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. Hope we haven't bored you too much because we ran over. My God, we need 36 minutes. Right, okay. So that's it, guys. Any questions, please drop us a line and we shall speak to you very soon. Thanks for listening. Take care.